Hello, everybody, my Ozone, and this is Ozone's Gadget Talk for Thursday, 25th of March, 2021. Today's episode, we have plenty of things to talk about. This past week has pretty much been... this past week, we've had tons of phones coming out, including the OnePlus 9 series, the Poco X3 Pro, the Poco F3. That was in the last episode. Today, we're here to talk about the Realme 8 series and the Vivo X60 getting a global launch. Not just a launch in China, it's already available in China, but now you can buy it in the rest of the world if you live in the rest of the world. And it's a really good flagship-esque phone if you really want a Vivo phone, but you don't want skimpy specs, you want some high-end performance. It's one to watch out for. And the camera apparently is good. And then there was the Moto G100, which for its price is quite interesting. We'll talk about that. And we have another launch next week, which is from the folks over at Xiaomi. But you know what's more interesting than all of the above has really been, and I wanted to acknowledge this, and that is that you may or may not know this, but there's basically been a chip shortage in the last couple of weeks, and it's quite interesting in the sense that, you know, people, well, we've all want new technology, and obviously there are a few fabrication mills where they make chips, and so that story really is like demand exceeding supply and supply being quite constrained. And then basically, you know, your PlayStations and your Xboxes, people are running out and reselling them at incredibly high rates, graphics cards are infected, phones, it's kind of tricky, really. That's the thing. I mean, but you know what was more fascinating than all along with this is really that there is a ship. If you've seen the photos already, there's a ship container ship that was going straight through the Suez Canal, and instead of going straight, instead of going vertically forward, pretty much in vertical direction, it's horizontal. It's took up the length of the actual Suez Canal, and it's not scary. I mean, I'm sure they're gonna figure this out. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's like it could affect supply already. It could affect, you know, the supply of everything around us. Now, I'm no expert in supply chain, but what I do know in terms of technology, especially if you talk about your iPhones, don't worry about your iPhone. Apple will just send it to you through a plane, because actually, this is a fact. Apple is known when it comes closer to the iPhone launch, or when the iPhone does go on sale in stores, to get it to folks quickly around the world. Apple does end up resorting to air transport, so literally straight from the factory in China, it loads consignments of iPhones and just send air freights it across the world. iPhones obviously not that heavy, and they're quite expensive, so Apple is willing to pay any amount of money to get them shipped or freighted anywhere in the world instantly. And whatever is the fastest transportation method, they'll pay anything for it. I mean, those margins, they pay for things that other brands cannot offer. Oh, well. So, but, yeah, it was quite an interesting tidbit to really share, because, you know, it tells you, like, you know how these little things can cause the world to kind of go upside down for a bit? But it was, it's quite fascinating sort of a turn of events in that regard. But aside from everything happening around the world in this day and age, but we definitely got tons of new devices kind of coming out. This is gadget talk, you know, we got to talk about gadgets all the time. So Realme has just finally dropped its 8 series, the Realme 8 and the 8 Pro. Now, they've announced these two. Now, to be clear, straight off the bat, both the Realme 8 and 8 Pro, they've been announced for India and Europe, Western Europe, from the looks of it, Europe pretty much. That probably includes France, Italy, Spain, you know, UK, Ireland, and then obviously Eastern European countries that are added to the mix, you know, like Serbia and Bosnia and stuff. Oh, well. But they've just announced these two phones for the Indian and European market, which is interesting because they're both Realme's quite important markets with a lot of market share. And these are two quite interesting phones, but the 8 Pro is quite interesting for that 108 megapixel camera. But hey, I mean, what's in these two phones? Let's kind of find out by kind of reading out their specs, because that's quite interesting to say the least, you could say. They're trying to really leap. Let's read the specs. So the Realme 8 features a 6.4-inch Super AMOLED display, a resolution of 1080 by 2400, so that's a FHD plus resolution with a screen to body ratio of 90.8%, and a pixel density of 409 pixels per inch with a peak brightness of 1000 nits. So it almost does HDR to an extent, so that I cannot guarantee that, but it's in the phone, you can do it. On top of that, this phone contains the MediaTek Helio G95 processor, aka decent processor for PUBG Mobile and Call of Duty Mobile and Free Fire. The Helio G95 is an octa-core CPU that's clocked up to 2.05 GHz, features a ARM Mali G76 GPU, which is like an ARM GPU core, which is really good. The phone is available with either is only available with 128 gigabytes of storage, with either 4 or 8 gigabytes of RAM as options. So, but you get one storage, but you can get two different RAM options. But for the camera, which is the most interesting part, you have a 64 megapixel primary sensor, f/1.79 aperture, with PD autofocus, which is not too shabby, an 8 megapixel ultra wide angle sensor. That has 119 degrees field of view, f/2.25 aperture. Aside from that, you have a 2 megapixel macro sensor, f/2.4 aperture, with 4 centimeters of shooting distance, so you need to be exactly 4 centimeters from an object to get a macro shot, and a 2 megapixel black and white sensor. This almost is starting to taking a page out of OnePlus's book. With having a monochrome sensor, but this has f/2.4 aperture. Aside from that, the Realme 8's camera can record videos at up to 4K 30 frames per second, and most likely has better software image stabilization, which is interesting. And you get a 16 megapixel f/2.45 aperture selfie camera, which is a Sony IMX471 Pro sensor. So I'd say processor, I don't know why, but oh well. And it can record only at up to 1080p resolution, so that's interesting. You get dedicated dual SIM and micro SD card slots, Wi-Fi AC, Bluetooth 5.1, 4G only. Unfortunately, it's not 5G, but hey, it's good for the price. You get 30 watts of fast charging and 5,000 mAh battery. And speaking of 30 watt dart charge, you get a power adapter in the box. I mean, a charger in the box at that voltage, so you can charge the phone up incredibly quickly. And yes, this phone has a USB-C port, which is cool, and runs on Realme UI 2.0, which is based on Android 11. So it is quite a fascinating phone, to say the least. And this phone will set you back roughly, if you're in India, this phone will cost you 15,000 Indian rupees. Or if you're in Britain, this will start, where's the information here? I can't seem to find it. About the Realme 8 though, in Europe or in the UK also, the price hasn't been mentioned, ironically. So, it's quite an interesting situation. They haven't revealed the 8 Pro 8, but it's already available in India. There is going to be a flash sale for this. When is this? First sale is 25th of March. So it's already launched. It's already launched. So you can already buy it in India. I already did a flash sale, which is interesting. We'll start from 15,000 rupees, which would roughly be 30,000 Pakistani rupees, which is a lot of money right here. It's quite competitive for a base spec Realme phone. And if I could do the currency calculation, as I tend to say, this will set you back to it, or it'll cost you $206 USD. So that's the Realme 8. And then there's the Realme 8 Pro, which is the other phone and the more impressive, slightly impressive phone from the looks of it. It's it's pulling no stops here. The Realme 8 Pro, in terms of specs, is a fascinating phone. So, to start, this phone features a 6.4-inch Super AMOLED display, 180 hertz touch sampling rate, which kind of means that this has a 90 hertz display or something of that sort. I don't know what's the refresh rate here, but there's no mention of a high refresh rate, so this probably is a 60 hertz display, with the touch sampling being clocked 3x more to be a bit more responsive for gaming. Aside from that, really, this features an FHD plus resolution, which is 1080x2400, with a 90.8% screen-to-body ratio for 9 pixels per inch. So this almost is similar to the Realme 8, with a peak brightness of 1000 nits. This phone features a Snapdragon 720G, which is a 8-nanometer chip, which is a pretty famous mid-range CPU and is doing wonders for a lot of people. This comes only in 6 or 8 gigabytes of RAM, which is LPDDR4X memory, and 128 gigabytes of UFS 2.1 storage out of the gate. But the really interesting part about this phone and comes with 4500 milliamp hour battery and 50 watt super dark charging, which is really fast charging, which is good. You get 65 watt charger in the box, and yes, this thing has a USB-C port. It was awesome, but that's not the interesting part about this phone that I think is worth talking about. There is a, if I should say it right, there's a four camera setup, four lens, four sensor setup, a quad camera setup, featuring a 108 megapixel primary sensor. You heard it right, 108 megapixel. Boy, the phones have gone up in pixel size. And this is a Samsung HM2 sensor with a 1x1.52 inch sensor size, f/1.88 aperture, which is decent for a phone of this class, with PD autofocus. You get 8 megapixel ultra wide angle lens, which has 119 degree field of view, f/2.25 aperture, a 2 megapixel macro, just like the Realme 8 from the looks of it, and a 2 megapixel monochrome sensor, which is interesting. More than everything, the Realme 8 is capable of recording video at up to 4K 30 frames per second and can do an astronomical amount of modes to make your camera, to make your so-called nice camera experience feel nice and quite real, like Realme. Anyways, you get 60 megapixel selfie front-facing camera, which is similar to the Realme 8 in terms of the sensor used here. It's a Sony IMX471. And you can record it just full HD, which is interesting. You get dedicated SIM card tray, you get dedicated dual SIM and micro SD card slots, which is nice to have. This can only do 4G, unfortunately. It cannot do 5G, being a pro. I feel like they should, for the Realme 9 or 10, they should offer 5G from now on, if they're quote-unquote democratizing 5G for everyone, or, you know, making it accessible for everyone. That could be the Realme 9 right there, 5G flagship. Aside from that, being 4G only, this phone can do AC Wi-Fi and Bluetooth 5.0, and has a in-display fingerprint sensor, and runs on Android 11. This phone, as I said, will set you back in the United Kingdom, in Great Old Britain, 280 quid. For the maxed out spec of 8 gigabytes of RAM and 128 gigabytes of storage, almost half the price of an A52, almost, give or take. I don't know how much those phones go for, but it's almost that. This would basically be around $300 US, give and take, because the British pound is a bit stronger than the dollar. Interestingly enough, the Realme 8 Pro will start in India from 18,000 rupees. So that would be, that will essentially be 36,000 Pakistani rupees. And if I could get the exact price in dollars, that would essentially be, did a mistake right here. All right, so the Realme 8 Pro will set you back $248 US approximately, and a similar amount in other currencies, so around $250 for the phone. And in the UK, you pay around $300 for the phone. And it's already available. And if you live in Britain, good news. Unlike most Chinese phones, the Realme 8 Pro, you'll be able to buy it on Realme's website and Amazon on the 31st of March. So that's really interesting. It's ironic, you know, like Realme is one, like the only kind of brand sort of that is available in the UK easily. And it's already available in India from early today, so it's went on a flash sale. So there's a Realme 8 and 8 Pro, really, if you think about it. So we've talked about all the relevant specifications about these phones, and it's kind of interesting, but the Realme 8 Pro really is going to catch a lot of attention for that immensely massive display sen camera sensor that's right over there, and that is the 108 pixel sensor. I think it's just Realme flexing that, hey, we have the, you know, it's the whole race of who has the bigger megapixels. Redmi's like, oh, we got a 86 megapixel camera, and then the other brand's like, no, we got 100. No, and Realme's like, I mean, hold your phones, I got 108 megapixel, and then who knows? It's like a race to the bottom almost, because megapixels don't really mean much, because the processor matters here, because the sensors may not be of good use if the ISP is not of any help, if you know what I mean, and you know, software is not really that good, you know. And this is the difference between these phones and probably the more expensive phones. More expensive phones have the luxury, get it, has the expensive phones, pretty high-end ones, you know, your iPhones and Galaxies have the luxury and premium of processing and optimizations, where it could squeeze a lot out of those sensors, even if they're not much, they're not 64 megapixels. You squeeze a lot of picture quality right there, and that's the thing about these phones. So do keep this in mind if you are, if you are just gonna buy the phone based on good cam on the big sensor, because sensor size doesn't really matter, you know. Oh well. But this 180-megapixel camera has an effective resolution of 12,000 by 9,000. We already covered it in the previous episode, but just in case you forgot, it's that big. It has a 1 by 1.52 inch sensor size, f/1.9 aperture. Could do 9-in-1 pixel binning, so it could take 9 pixels, bring them to 1 to give you a 12-megapixel picture. And each pixel is roughly 0.7 micrometers, and you can guess how big that ends up being. And aside from that, this really has PD autofocus, and quite literally, it is quite a good sensor for what it is. So that's one half of the story. The sensors are big and awesome and all that good stuff, but there are also some software features, I'd say tidbits, about these two phones, and that is that really that Realme 8 has 30 watt fast charging, the 8 Pro has 50 watt fast charging. What else really? What can I think about? In terms of the camera, you get some cool features. You get super nightscape, you get ultra nightscape video for in the ultra wide angle mode. Starry mode is available for videos now, actually. This is interesting. So essentially, if you record a video for an hour, it can snap 240 frames and stir into an 8-second clip that'll show you the movement of the night sky, which is really cool to say the least. And just for context, the 50 watt fast charging means that you'd be able to top this phone up. You should be able to top this phone up in half of it, really, in 17 minutes. So if you do the math right there, that would be about more than half an hour, 30, more than 30 minutes, and you get a full charge right over here. And if you bring it down a bit to the Realme 8, the basic, you switch out the Snapdragon chip, which is not a new one, it's a 720. I really was thinking this would be a 7. Okay, to be fair, I mean, they're trying to make a good phone out of here, but I thought they could offer 860 at least, or 860, no, 765 or 760. Because those are really good chips, to say the least. So yeah, it's quite interesting what you have with these phones. Now you have a G95, which is interesting, but more than everything, this regular Realme 8 has a 2 megapixel macro, but you have a 4 centimeter shoot distance, which is interesting. You can do various portrait modes, and there's starry mode, which is interesting, and tilt shift mode, which is quite fascinating. But here you get a 5,000 mAh battery, which is a slightly bigger battery than the 8 Pro, ironically. And fortunately, you can charge this whole phone up. You can charge half of the phone in just 26 minutes, to say the least. But as I said, this is a MediaTek phone, and MediaTek phones are not good for their battery life. They're a bit inefficient for being the fact that they're, given that they have a battery, or the voltage chips are like that. So this is something interesting to keep in mind. You will obviously be sitting there wondering that the 8 series is not really an all new phone or all new generation. It's probably a continuation from several models that Realme is launching. But in case you're wondering, what are the really big differences? Now, on the Realme 7 regular, and the Realme 7 versus the Realme 8, the regular Realme 7, if we look at it a little bit, basically you get the same processor, you get the same sorts of extra cameras, you get a almost same extra sensors. There are three cameras on the Realme 7 also, but here you also get the same set of cameras. What else? You get the same battery, same fast charging, same port, and you pay slightly more money, about 30 euros extra straight away. But the real d and you get also a micro SD card slot and dual SIM on the Realme 7 too, which is interesting. And you get the same display, but it's a little different spec. And the difference really is that you get it's slightly heavy. It already got a glass front already. You get a Super AMOLED display. So it's one of the first Realme's really completely to have a AMOLED display. Not a pro, really, regular phone to have a AMOLED display. And you get double the storage, 64 megapixel camera, a slightly better selfie sensor from the looks of it, and you get an in-display fingerprint sensor. This is actually written in the spec here. So if you really want an AMOLED display, you can go for the Realme 8, but really if you want everything else that's obviously suitable, really the Realme 7 is good. From the looks of it, you're probably doing wonders. And this recently came out, I think last year, it came last year pretty much. And even if we go to compare the Pro, if I bring it up here, that is, I mean, the 7 Pro, they're almost a continuation from the looks of it. The designs are unique, that's the difference also. You get a nicer kind of display, matte design. I was about to say display, weirdly enough. But the Realme 8, the 8 Pro versus 7 Pro, pretty much, if you think about it, on the 7 Pro, you also get the same AMOLED display, but it's not bright or is suitable for HDR at peak. You get really, I mean, you get a double size camera, pretty much. It's 2 times bigger, pretty much, or it really is a bigger camera. It's slightly lower fast charging. You only get 50 watts fast charging. It's weird. So if you want full 65 watt fast charging, you might as well get the Realme 7 Pro. Seems like they rushed this phone to market, really, to beat Redmi right here. Because aside from the camera and the operating system out of the gate and the slightly brighter display, there's not much difference, really. You get the same 4G reception, you get the same processor, you almost get the same sort of display, almost the same set of three extra cameras, the same storage options. You get Wi-Fi AC pretty much. And then the Realme 7 Pro, you get stereo speakers, but we'll see about that, interestingly. And you get 65 watt fast charging on the 7 Pro. And the Realme 7 Pro now obviously has gone on slightly in price, so it's about $250 here. I learned from GSM Arena. Big shout out to GSM Arena for the information here. So now it dawns upon all of us. Should you buy these phones? I mean, you look, there's not much of a difference. It's a slight upgrade. They want a beefier camera. You get a beefier main sensor on the 8 Pro. Should you get these phones? Well, if you step back a bit, I mean, you get good value for money, obviously. Thankfully, these are not $500-$600 phones, or else, yeah, I mean, you shouldn't be buying these in the first place. I mean, in that regard. But quite frankly, The regular Realme 8 would do you fine from the looks of it, but frankly, there's not much of a difference. Even looking at price and stuff, you don't get that much of an upgrade for a new phone, for a new model, really. I mean, if we really don't care about like whether it's a recent model or not, I mean, if you get the 7 series, you'll probably do fine. The 7 Pro would be okay, but also there's the 8 series, but frankly, the regular Realme 8 would do perfectly. But if you want a performance phone, you might as well look somewhere else. Or, as I said, you could look to get the Realme X7 or the Narzo phones if you're in select markets where Narzo is sold. Those would be probably better value for you, and you probably get more for your money. Right here, it basically just kept some specs and updated some few bits and bobs to really beat the competition, which is not kind of not really not kind of not helpful. I mean, it's kind of hard to decide, really, from the looks of it. So, honestly, I mean, the regular 8 could do wonders. The 8 Pro is good for the camera, but there's not much of an upgrade, really. The 7, Realme 7 Pro and 7 would do wonderful for a lot of people for a whole another year or two, and obviously then it would make sense to upgrade. So, there you have it. It's the Realme 8 series. It's already out in India, and it's going to be out in Europe and the rest of the world very, very soon. Really daring to leap only slightly forward with the camera and stuff. So yeah, moving over to other brands, Vivo's just launched the X60 series outside of China, so it's kind of fascinating that Vivo's been making tons of Vivo makes tons of phones already catered to mid and low-end customers. And they haven't had a flagship in a while. They had the X50, which was lovely. We talked about it back when we started the whole podcasting, really, in July. So it's been a couple of months now, and now they have the X60 series. And here, at least, you get an upgrade. So the Vivo X60 and X60 Pro is really a flagship that really cements Vivo's domination in the smartphone race from the looks of it, because this ain't a cheapy phone. This is a premium smartphone. You get top-notch camera, good lens, on top of that, good display, good connectivity, good processors. You know, this is really the best of the best from Vivo. I mean, they're a camera phone brand, and they're not cutting corners here in that regard. The Vivo X60 and X60 Pro, both phones feature a Snapdragon 870 instead of an Exynos 1080 from the Chinese version. Apparently, they claim that they tested, they've done testing and surveys, and basically they researched a bit and found out that Qualcomm chips are more reliable and they worked on better networks and they reached more networks than say Exynos or MediaTek chips. So they used an X, so they used a Snapdragon 870 chip, which is both affordable and obviously still incredibly fast for what it is. So that's that. And also on the global variant of the X60 Pro, you get only one 13-megapixel 2x telephoto camera, which is ironic. And only in the Chinese version, you get an 8-megapixel 5x periscope camera. And really, if you think about it, you get the same, you almost get exactly the same sorts of specs as the Chinese version. We've talked about this phone already many weeks back, many months back, kind of already. It's been 2 months since we talked about this phone in a previous episode, so you can go find it. Down in the episode, it's a previous episode. I don't remember the name, but it was about the X60 and X60 Pro. It was available in China. Then we talked about it, but this is the global version. And as I said, aside from the little camera sensor and processor change, you really get an incredible high-end phone. 6.56-inch curved OLED display, Full HD Plus, 120 Hz, 33-watt fast charging, wired. And you get a 48-megapixel main camera and a 13-megapixel 120-degree ultra-wide sensor, which is really interesting. And then the X60 doesn't have curved display, but really you still get a large battery. But the X60 Pro has a micro gimbal system for its 48-megapixel camera, and that's the interesting part about the X50 and the X60 is that micro gimbal camera, and makes the video incredibly smooth. This phone pretty much would have one of the smoothest video recording experiences out there. That's really not an iPhone or a Samsung, so really, really top end in that regard. And then you have the X60 Pro Plus, and that features a Snapdragon 888, a 50-megapixel main sensor, a Samsung GN1 sensor with optical image stabilization, a 48-megapixel ultra-wide sensor with micro gimbal stabilization, which is one of its kind, really, if you think about it. And two zoom sensors, which is interesting, to say the least. Now, it's such an interesting phone, to say the least, quite a high-end phone. It really is Vivo's fastest phone out there in the market. If you want to buy a high-end Vivo phone, you want to flex, oh, I got a Vivo. It's not bad. It's much better. It's a really good phone. You're going to be blown away by it. But in case you want to buy this phone, I mean, here's the best part. It's already available in China, and obviously it's available in the rest of the world. And Vivo has announced that they're planning to launch this phone in over 20 markets from today, in India, Indonesia, the UAE, the UK, and much, much more. And they're planning to launch it across Asia Pacific and Australia and China, across APAC, which essentially is Asia Pacific and Australia, and Europe and Middle East in next couple months. It says Middle East, so most likely across the Gulf, because it's a premium phone, you pay good money for this. But aside from that, you can buy it in the rest of the world, and it'll be coming to Europe and the Middle East and Asia. So get ready for that if you want a Vivo. If you're in India, this actually will be available in India, surprisingly, being a high-end phone. But the Vivo X60 regular spec will be 30,000 Indian rupees, so that would be roughly, that'd be about 76,000 Pakistani rupees. So it'd be around 80,000, which is not bad. Under 1 lakh for a phone. So a flagship under 1 lakh, pretty good in that regard. After taxes and currency conversion and stuff. And that'll be roughly $523 US. And then for the maxed out spec, you can pay 42,000 Indian rupees. That would be 84,000 Pakistani rupees, or $578, which is under $600, not too shabby. The X60 Pro will set you back 50,000 rupees Indian, which would be about 1 lakh Pakistani rupees, approximately, or $688 US. So it's quite a fascinating phone, to say the least. It's good value for money compared, if you both in India and Pakistan, in both markets. I don't know if Vivo could bring this phone to Pakistan. I mean, I'm sure there'll be a market for this phone. I mean, the under 1 lakh segment is competitive, pretty much. I mean, sure, you should launch it here. But it's way cheaper than the S21 series phone, so that's interesting. The X60 and X60 Pro will be available in blue and black. And in India, ironically, you also will be getting the X60 Pro Plus. And you can pay 70,000 Indian rupees for that phone, or 1,40,000 Pakistani rupees, or $963. Aside from that, you can pre-order these phones in India today, and you can get them from April the 2nd, which is interesting. And this being a Snapdragon 870 and 888 phone, so pretty competitive. And even the X60, as it is priced really well from the looks of it, competing with the GT and Realme GT and OnePlus 9R. This probably is better value than OnePlus in that regard. But I'm sure some people are going to be spooked by the Vivo branding from the looks of it. And there's that perception amongst folks in places like India that Vivo stands for like cheap quality phones. But this is, as I said, this is Vivo at its very best. Gimbal camera is phenomenal. They don't still offer it on their, they don't have an S3 with gimbal stabilization. Like, that's going to be a few years away. So it's a really fancy phone from a brand not known for this. I'm coming back. Mix coming back. Yeah. This is what Xiaomi report posted over on Sina Weibo today, pretty much, from the looks of it, or recently. And they're doing an event next week to release some brand new Mi Mix phones. Now, there's not much we know of the Mi Mix phones, but most likely, there probably is, Xiaomi is looking to launch a premium foldable phone next week. The thing is that what the Mi Mix was really built for originally, and most Mi fanboys will remember, the Mi Mix was this really groundbreaking phone that was almost bezel-less, top to bottom, almost bezel-less. Like, there were no camera holes or anything, and bezels were fat. Were pretty fatty, top, bottom, chins. And then Xiaomi brought a phone that was almost bezel-less, and now everyone does it. Everyone's got much better screen-to-body ratio. So I feel now that Xiaomi's looking to launch a new device, really. Then release one in 2020, obviously given what has happened last year. But to this year, they're looking to launch something interesting, and this could probably be a foldable phone. I mean, Xiaomi hasn't made a more foldable phone yet, so they might be looking to launch a new foldable phone. So they're going to do an event on March 29th at 7:30 p.m. China time, in which they're going to show off the new Mi Mix phone, which could be a foldable from the looks of it. And it's quite exciting. And this is on top of the fact that Xiaomi CEO Lai Xun has announced, or has claimed, that the new Mi Mix phone would probably be coming with liquid lens technology, the first phone of its kind with this capability, which means, and now you'll be wondering what liquid lens tends to do. Now apparently, liquid lens contains an optical grade liquid, is controlled either mechanically or electronically, and unlike traditional lenses that are rigid, liquid lenses are tensile and can quickly change the focal length. It takes up less space compared to traditional lens. This could be a big deal, and it could probably be on the main sensor. We'll see how good it is really, and if it's worth all the money and time people would want to spend on such a device. But it's quite game-changing, because it would mean that the focus could be just like your human eye, could focus just as fast as the human eye, which is surprising. So this and this could probably be a foldable, so I mean, quite exciting. They're really mixing things up for sure. And also the Motorola Edge S has like now been announced as officially as the G100 and the Moto G100, and it's really cool. It has the same sort of specs as the Edge S originally. Now, unfortunately enough, it has a unique, it's got a unique, you could say, a dock included with the phone, and you plug it in. It's like Samsung Dex, but for Motorola phones, and it runs your phone in desktop mode, like a desktop, which is interesting. And here's the big deal here. This phone will be available in Europe and Latin America, starting for £450, which is a very high price tag, a pretty significant $100-$200 extra from the China variant. Now, I probably don't want to buy it because it's $400, $500, $600 most likely. So it's just nuts, really. I mean, because you know, I didn't think they were gonna charge this much for a phone. I mean, they can, but it doesn't seem worth its price from the looks of it. And finally, some electric car news, because we gotta talk about EVs sometimes. Porsche it may be a while before Porsche actually does release a electric 911. You may know that they already do the Taycan, which is really good, and they're gonna release a Taycan Gran Turismo, a GT, and that basically will be a crossover-esque version of the Taycan. It would have like the same architecture as the e-tron GT, but it'll be a crossover. And okay, it's the Cross Turismo. I think it'll be a faster car, probably. They're gonna make more electric cars, and they might be planning to create an electric SUV or crossover. Fortunately, they're claiming that Porsche's CEO or boss Oliver Blum claimed that they're not really looking to quickly launch a 911 electric, because it'll take a long, long time, and obviously it'll be difficult to squeeze motors and a big battery into a little squeaky sports car, which is quite zippy, and it won't be. And also, apparently, it could affect driving characters, because the car would actually slow down because it would be heavy. It would not even very light. It would drive quite quickly. But Porsche's boss really explained to Autoblog, a big shout out to him, because they've asked him about this serious question, because in some countries, diesel or petrol driven cars will be banned by 2030, so this is quite an interesting question. And he kind of explained the concept in the 911 doesn't allow a fully electric car, because we have the engine in the rear, and to put the weight of the battery in the rear, you wouldn't be able to drive the car. For this decade, I'm very clear the 911 will be a combustion engine car. It's too early to tell what will happen in the 2030s. So it seems like for all the 911 sort of variants till like 2030, they're going to offer a diesel, it'll be a diesel car pretty much, and then afterwards a petrol car, and then afterwards they'll probably look to make it electric most likely. But they could make an electric sports car. I mean, but it won't be a 911. They might experiment it with a, but they're saying that they are open to the idea of a hybrid 911 that could mix an electric powertrain with a diesel engine, a petrol engine, sorry, which is interesting. And yeah, I mean, if you think about it, it could work. And maybe they could turn the 917 or 918 or the Boxster and make it electric. That could happen, most likely. And this is on top of news that Porsche is not going to be using Volkswagen's broad SSP electric drivetrain platform, which is weird. It's going to instead use its very own premium platform electric powertrain, which has been built alongside Audi. And apparently this is because the SSP drivetrains are for mainstream electric cars, like the ID4 and probably the ID3 and stuff. And then Porsche and Audi cars need to be incredibly fast, and so they need their own architecture. So kind of, you can't put everyone on one architecture. You know, everyone's needs are different. So that's interesting. So, I mean, so instead, I mean, Porsche is going to be using their very own, you know, their very own architecture almost with Audi, and Audi will have their cars based on Porsche's architecture. This is called a PPE, not personal protective equipment, but apparently this is premium platform electric, which is interesting. Yeah, this is what's happening in the world of EVs. It's kind of interesting that Porsche is really, I think they've realized the value proposition, like they're having their own architecture and their own tuned performance, and it's a step up from the competition, and it's, there's nothing quite like it in the market. And they gotta maintain that differentiation. If people found out that the Taycan shared the same engine as the ID4, they buy the ID4 even more than the Porsche to be like, well, I don't need the Porsche, it's overpriced. So they're trying to create a value proposition, and this along with announcement that Porsche is making their own dedicated fast chargers in Europe, which is kind of an interesting development. Porsche is a pretty serious, is becoming a serious player in electrics really also from the looks of it. So they're charging ahead in that regard. What do you think of everything I've heard today? Let me know on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at say_mom99. Follow me there if you can. Subscribe to the show where you listen to podcasts. Leave a review if you're on Apple Podcasts. And also subscribe and follow if you want. And that's been the episode. Thank you for listening. And stay safe. Take care. And I'll see you next week with another episode of Mom's Gadget Talk. You know what to do. You know, share the show. Subscribe. You know, do all the good stuff. And I'll see you hopefully next week, and have a great weekend, all right? Take care. Till next week, this is your boy, Mom, signing out. Peace. Have a great day. Ciao.